I think I'm kind of missing her more now. I don't know. I guess I'm getting more attached to my mom, just being a good friend and hanging out. So yesterday she loves. Okay, here's the deal. She had a BlackBerry for 15 years. Okay, so okay, you need a change. So we got her a touch phone, and so she's learning to touch everywhere. And I got a whole data plan for the whole year, paid the bill, and now I installed WhatsApp, and she's so fired up. So she, the other day, doing a WhatsApp, and she's like, what's going on? What's happening? I said, Mom, I'm here seeing your hair in a year. Look at it. That's how you do it. So it was really fun hanging. Now she wants to do it all the time. She's trying to call the whole world. It's so funny. And she doesn't like this talking. She wants to see. And so it's just a connection there. So I'm just going to come back. Thank you for sharing and praying for me and the church in Sri Lanka. Really, I guess you knew what's happened. There was a bomb attack a week before I left. And it was just crazy to hear the report, the news, the CNN, and all those news, whatever we have worldwide, the papers were so big. Everybody got into a fear mode. We prayed as a leadership, me and Dinesh and so many other leaders, we prayed Sri Lanka and India, should we really go? Should we have the conference? And so they made a decision to cancel the conference because we cannot travel. So we didn't really send out the mission team. There were only four people. It was going to be done more underground. So the church leader said, you know what? We planned all this. Let's go day by day. Let's pray about it. If it happens, if they don't cancel the flights, it's on. And so we waited 3-4 days. Everybody's waiting on the phone and WhatsApp because of the connection. By the way, the day when they got bombed, the next 2 days, there was no Facebook and no WhatsApp. They blocked everything. They felt somebody attacking, almost like a dead 9/11. And it was so crazy because before it was all internal, but this time it was outside. Some naughty guys want to come and attack good people. So I'm so fired up to share that we did have a church service. We'll share a little bit more about that later. But let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get straight on the message. Father in heaven, I thank you for bringing us a new day. New in the morning, as we sing sometimes. Thank you, God, for the breath of life. That we can thank you, as so many folks on that day in Sri Lanka, around 250 people lost their lives, who are seeking you and they had no idea of future. God, our life is so short on this earth that we will make every effort to make that connection with you and one another. God, Satan wants to disrupt, distract, destroy, deceive, and finish us up, God, on this earth before we can die. Father, today, as we open our hearts and our mind, I pray that we will understand what it means to connect with you and with each other. Lord, we are weak. We have all this baggage from the past. Help us to let it all go. God, thank you for the church. Thank you for the churches worldwide. That we will celebrate on this beautiful Mother's Day what you have given us, what you have done for us. Thank you so much for this time. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so a little bit later, I'm going to have the Thorns come and share. The mother and 3 daughters are going to come and share. It's going to be exciting. But before that, I want to share some church growth by George Burnham. If you heard about him, he's a leader of church research in all of America in the last 20 years. It's how you grow your church from the outside. How do you understand the unchurched? Unchurched is somebody who doesn't come to church for 6 months. Other than weddings and baptisms and funerals. So there's so many facts here. I'm not going to be reading all the facts. Just read a few, okay? It's going to really help the church, help you, help me. So he says there are a few useful facts about the unchurched. 2/3 of all Americans believe that the purpose of life is to enjoy blessings and gain the maximum fulfillment from their options and temptation. Secondly, in mid-2000s, about 100 million Americans of all ages were unchurched. Encountering hypocritical Christians is what the unchurched like least about their past experiences at church. And they don't like all the strict belief systems. The unchurched say the main reason they do not attend church is because they don't have time. Most people who accept Christ the Savior do so between the ages of 5 and 13. 3/4 of the unchurched believe that God helps those who help themselves. Brett made that great point. Even though this principle came from Benjamin Franklin, it's not biblical. That means they believe a lie. The unchurched prefer to be called inquirers and explorers. They do not want to be called lost. So that'd be a good teaching point for us. Unchurched people are more likely to respond to a personal invitation than they are to surrender to pressure to belong to a group. This is the last one. What we're going to talk about today is the most important factor when the unchurched selects a church. How much the people in a church seem to care about each other. That's it. That's what we're going to talk about today. Connecting one another. You know, when I think about my life, same thing. I've been in my church the whole life. I didn't connect with anybody. I didn't connect with God. By the way, welcome from Kentucky. Disciple, amen, visiting. Amen to that. Woo. Welcome back, Joe. And so, I didn't connect to anybody. The only people I connected was in the world that they smoke, drink, take drugs, and get drunk. That was my most connection. I had nobody connected to the church. Even the people in the church, we went and went to the pubs and got, all did all the naughty stuff. But there wasn't anything good about it. And so today, I hope that lesson today will learn some new perspective about connecting with God, each other. Turn with me to John 15, the theme of the year of the scripture. We're going to do a short review, but at the same time, look at it in a deeper way. There are 59 scriptures in the Bible in the New Testament. By the way, Old Testament, there's no one another. In the New Testament are 59 scriptures. Beautiful. Mark 9:50, be at peace at each other. Wash one another's feet. Oh, I forgot the T. love one another. John 13:15. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment with one another. Accept one another. Greet one another. Amen. That's where we have fellowship. Serve one another. Be patient with one another. Bear with one another. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Being kind to one another. You know, last 1 week I was tested of being kind and bearing. Two of the campus students really tested my patience. I had to really pray. I forgive them, but I was tested. That's all I'm going to say. You know, the Bible says forgive one another. You know, these are awesome scriptures, right? But how do you feel about connecting these scriptures and making a decision to obey? That's a whole different ballgame, right? And so I know it takes a lifetime, it shouldn't, but sometimes for some of us from our past and the baggage we carry, it takes a long time. But we don't talk about it, we he will not get anywhere. You got to be able to talk about it. Talking about triads, talking about small group. I'm loving the Ming Tent Fellowship. We got so many guys coming right now. We're just packing up half the Ming Tent. Now here's the thing. They all know each other now. So now the servers say, hey, your buddy's sitting there. They said, who's that? They don't know the name. When I went in, I was also having lunch. Hey, man, come on, bro. They know we hang out with each other. It's deep. They say, how many people are coming this week? 10 or 15? I don't know. Maybe 20. And sometimes 15. I don't know. But they're just getting fired up about it, you know. And so God is calling us to learn to be together and be able to connect. But before we can connect one another, we got to connect with God. And that, I think, is the issue. Because if we come to church, we're quickly trying to connect with one another, right? No. We need to connect to God first. Because people are looking for a church to feel good, right? It's a feel-good experience. You make me feel good, I love you. No. It's not about feeling good. It's not in the Bible, feel good. Actually, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You're not supposed to feel good. Not feel good. You know what I'm talking about. But so I really believe in John 15, Jesus talks about, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I remain in you, we're all good. And that's how he starts off with the chapter. That's how he starts off his heart. You've got to connect with Christ. So, have you made the decision, Jesus is Lord? Let's talk about that for a few minutes. If you have made that decision, Jesus is Lord, that means he's your King, he's your Savior, he's your Redeemer, he's your Helper, he's your Comforter. He's going to help you in your weakness because he can relate with you. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit when you come out of the waters of baptism, when you repent of all your sins. Now, if you didn't repent of your sin, do you really expect to have the Holy Spirit? And so you got to die to yourself. You got to die. And that's why born again in John 3, John himself talks about you got to live differently after. And so, if you accepted Jesus Lord in your life, and you're struggling, if you're struggling, then ask yourself, am I really connected with Christ? Now, struggle is awesome, right? We all struggle. I struggle, you struggle. Okay, we all struggle. 2 weeks ago, I struggled with fear and insecurity. Should I go or not? I had to pray. And the church leader in Sri Lanka said, no pressure. If you want to come, it's on you. Oh, wow, it's on me now. They're not calling me to come. It's up to me. I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. All right, Lord, it's not about the Sunday message. It's not about anything. It's about becoming connected with Christ. Because I was trying to feel good with that church. Does that make sense? I've been there 25 years ago. Pam and I are part of the planning. But I had to connect with Christ. And so, when you struggle, what does the Bible say? That you can overcome your struggle through temptations. You'll be tempted. Temptation is not a sin. But then when you are tempted, you're enticed. But then you're going to God for strength. And you're overcoming that struggle. For example, okay, if you have an issue forgiving somebody, okay, let's talk about that. You can't struggle that for 30 years in your life to forgive one person. That's not the gospel. The Holy Spirit can help any problem, anyone in this world, any generation. It's the same Spirit, one Spirit. So if I can forgive somebody, then you can forgive that same person. Let me say that again. If I can forgive Tucson, then everybody can also forgive him. Now we're getting personal. If I can forgive Rick for something he did 6 months ago, which I kind of remember, everybody can. But if you have an issue, I love everybody except that one person, then what is that one person issue?
You got to deal with it. You need more Christ in you.
Because you got connected too easily entangled before you got too connected with Christ. But I'm losing the rules of the crowd here. You know how you change? It's right here in verse 2. We can talk a little bit deeper on this point. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. See, so now you can't forgive. There's no fruit. Right? Satan has you. Right? Maybe it's an anger issue. Or whatever your case may be in your life. It could be a pride. It could be a family, or marriage, or kids, or whatever. Maybe you can't forgive your boss. You hate your boss, or you quit the job. I don't know. You've got to figure it out and talk about it. But here Christ is talking about, to be more fruitful, you have to be pruned. You should be willing to be pruned. You need help in letting go and forgiving. You know, scriptures talk about, Paul talks about, Peter talks about, forgive as Christ forgave you, right? So that is the connection right there. Ephesians 5, Paul talks about that. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. So that means if you have a hard time forgiving, you go back to Christ. You're back to the true wine. You connect. I'm going to have James come up. Help me with this process. We have a branch. Okay? This is Christ right here. Right? These are all the branches. Isn't it beautiful? That's how a church grows. Now, the word cut has a double meaning. Positive and negative. The positive is to restore, to be disciplined, approved. Negative is it's judgment. It's discipline. You have a choice. And so at this time, we're going to have a demonstration. My dear friend, who's so good in knives, he's going to demonstrate the positive first, pruning. That's how you prune. Okay? You don't cut your finger here. Gotta hang out with your wife later. That's pruning. Okay? You're allowing God to shape your character. You should be willing. If you're not willing, you'll walk away. I've seen in the last 34 years of my life being in the church, different cities, whatever, the people who don't like to be pruned, they're no longer. They don't like the pruning. You know why? Because they had an issue growing up. It is with the growing up. It's nothing to do with the church. So unless we deal with our past, our spiritual discovery, I know Pam and some of the sisters are doing that, that's awesome, is to discover what is that hurt? Why don't you like the pruning when Christ says that's good for you? Because when you prune, you're going to be more fruitful. Don't we want more fruit? One of my dear mentors, Dinesh George, if you've seen him, he's not my brother, but my brother. I'm trying to get him to come and preach, but he's so busy around the world. Delegates around, you know, all over. But I saw him 2 weeks ago. I just thanked him. I just broke down. He was there on Sunday. He also made it to Sri Lanka. I just thanked him so much for pruning my heart. Calm me out of my pride. And what he helped me say, he said, you know, you don't have to be humble to be in the ministry. You got to be humble anyway. Because I got clogged up in my head. Or if I'm in the full-time ministry, then challenge me. It's all good. So he called me out, and that helped me understand.
And that really helped me years later, because we left countries, whatever, you moved to another country and all that, I moved in. And since the last 15 years being in America, all younger folks are discipling, mentoring. But now it's easy. I welcome it. See what I'm talking about? All of them. Except Tom Wilson. He's older than me. But everybody else is younger than me. That's how I'm going to be. As I'm getting older, we're going to have younger folks come. I got to get ready. They're handing the church to the younger generation. No one's going to lead forever, right? But if I didn't learn that lesson back then, I wouldn't be staying here. I don't know if I'll even be here in Chicago or at Michigan. But because I decided to allow myself to praise God. Amen? Now the negative, Mr. James Murdoch is going to show, that if you're not willing, then it says it's going to be cut off. Thank you. Let's give a hand to James. This grace of God, right? I mean, outside there is grace, but there is grace. The grace is, nobody has to be cut off, right? We have time. Jesus comes back. So, part of a disciple, a discipleship, if you're not very clear on this concept, is you're willing to change. That's it. You don't have to be perfect. You can let your guard down. Just open up. Hey, I sinned the other day. What happened in my life? Oh, really? That's it. I fell into major sin. Okay, you want to talk about it now? Give me 2 weeks. Okay. Get allowing yourself to let other branches connect and help. Remember that. And I think it's a lot to do with our fear. A lot to do with our fear from the past, what has happened. It's holding us back. That's our cap. It's stored in our amygdala, in our brain. We talked about that a long time ago. But what does Paul say? With the mental block. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Pull everything what holds you back and replace it, take captive, and have the mind of Christ. That's it. That's how you grow. Amen to that. You know, I'm so proud of the Sri Lankan church that when the bomb attack happened, everybody cringed in fear. Think about it. What if there's a bomb attack downtown? You go to church, you come out of your house. They went through that. So they didn't know there's going to be church next Sunday. Stand by. Everything locked down, curfew, soldiers on the street, all of that. And I'm so proud of the church because they were proved. Church as a whole got proved. Yet, fear and insecurity. And so the church leader said, you know what? We'll find a hall, because every church was closed down. All the Catholic churches, all the Methodists, all of them. There was no Sunday service. Every one of them. And the church leader praying, he was looking for a building. Forget about church, a building. The YMCA, they closed down. They don't want to give it up. They're fearful that another attack is going to come to Christians. But praying, faithful, sending message through WhatsApp, hold on, we don't know for sure. They don't have any church service, no Bible talk, no nothing. During the day, you go for work, but at 9, after 9 o'clock curfew, the soldiers on the street, the way the curfew works there, they shoot on sight. They don't even ask any questions. Think you can stay at home? Absolutely. But during the day, hey, everybody's fired up. You got to carry ID or passport with you. They ask you, oh, where are you going? Okay, good. Amen. It's all good. Okay, it's good, that experience. I went through it before, Pam and I. The day we came in 94, that day was a curfew. We didn't even know that, what we're getting into. But, fast forward, rain got a hall in the heart of the city. So much of protection, soldiers around there. A lot of disciples just walked to church. They walked. They wanted fellowship. They wanted to be together. They prayed. And the church leader found a hall. They're cheap. Got all the disciples in a group text. But this building, 10 o'clock, plan to be there. But it's on you. You have an option. If you don't think you want to come, feel you're not, that's okay. And that turnout that Sunday was so incredible. So incredible. So that's the church right there. It's the same size as us. Okay? We found a hall. AC was hardly working, but somehow it worked. And those fans. That's the church up there. Really, really awesome. Dinesh is standing on the right corner over there. These are families Pam and I worked with over the years. That's Manoj. My daughter used to call him Manos because Jay was not here. They're all growing up. And I put a funny picture of the cow trying to drink some water. So, it was so moving, the singing. A lot of disciples cried in church. I was emotional. Everybody, like, because we're here for the gospel. And when I think about it, we can't even relate to the first century disciples. What did they go through? Beating up. They went to the Colosseum. They got beaten up for their faith. They're on their own. Everybody got scattered in Acts chapter 8. All the disciples scattered because of persecution. They went and preached the word because they knew that's going to work. More fruit. My question for the GR church, what is God pruning you today? What is he teaching? The church. You can figure that out. You can pray about it. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had a said the biggest need in the fellowships, churches here in Midwest, accountability and discipleship. That's exactly what he expressed that to all the 18 church leaders, all the elders. Need that more. I really believe that too, church. We need to welcome, pruning a little bit more. It's okay, it's not that painful. You know, once you change it, once you get help, you can, your character changes. You become a different person. When you open up your struggles and you get the help, you're a different person. You get fired up. You get excited. You're full of the Holy Spirit. You know, what keeps me going is that discipling. That's why I go for all these conferences, getting help. You know, this week we'll be in Wisconsin. Rob Skinner, Joel Pete, we're meeting all the churches under 100 are coming together. We're going to get all fired up. I'm going to be here for a day and a half because I got to come back for my daughter's graduation. It's going to be like, going to be all over the place. It's all good for the heart. The church, I want to encourage you. Welcome. Welcome to pruning. It's God's discipline. It's not a man. Don't see a man in the picture. That's why we struggle. How dare you tell me that? Well, see God in the picture. Maybe God's helping you. Amen to that. And very quickly, second point is connecting to his love. Right here, if you look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. Isn't Jesus so clear? That's how you remain in God's love, is when you obey. Yeah. Okay. If you obey... Oh, okay, read that. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. Isn't that beautiful? Not the world joy, my joy, Jesus' love, Jesus' joy. That your joy may be complete. You know, it's one thing to be happy and fired up, but you got to be complete. You got to be complete. Amen? My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love than no man. Has no one than those that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, for what I command. He goes on to talk about fruit that will last. Bearing fruit. winding, helping others, all that. I think the point I want to talk about here very quickly is our friendships need to be spiritual, loving, of God. Don't look for worldly relationships and friendships. Make sure that's from God. It has to be. And so I have this, I hope this will help you to understand that we've got to connect His love. We've got to connect with His love, right? If we do that, then we want to hang out. We want to, you know, hang out with each other, get close, and then the triad. You know, I love my triads on Thursday. It's so great. I hang out with Brett and Ron and just talk about life. I think we're there for 2 hours. We're just talking about life, and Ron's getting more healthier. Yeah, he's driving, and that's awesome. Okay, so never give up. Amen. Appreciate that. So we hang out. So if you don't hang out, so when we hang out, we are more open. Isn't it true? When you're open, we build trust. It's all about what George Bernard was talking about, caring for one another. That's how we care. The way we care is connecting to God's love. When we trust, build trust, we have a soft heart. And you want to keep doing the same thing. But what if you don't hang out? So me and Jesus are going to hang out every day. I don't need any church. I don't need to love anyone. I don't need to hang out. Then what? Then where's the branches? You know, we may grow far away a little bit, but we're still connected to the true one. Does that make sense? So you may be here, but you're still connected. You know, I miss Fred. Fred's a great brother. He was connected, but we're still connected through His love, through His Spirit. Amen to that. Pray for him. He needs a job. So, I hope you understand this concept. If you're not open to or fired up to be hanging out with brothers and sisters during the week, then you're struggling. You're struggling with all this stuff. Okay? I want to encourage you to be able to do that. I want to share about this Jevin. Okay? I was happy to be there. You know, Saj, he was here. We supported their churches in India. Jevin is studying the Bible for the last year and a half. He and his dad own a travel company. Okay? Very traditional mindset from a traditional church background. Jevin got persecuted this week. Okay? And he's having a Bible study with Saji. And his family interrupted the Bible study. 6 traditional priests dragged him out of the house because he wants to be a disciple of Christ. So I sent him a note, we're praying for you. I shared a scripture with him. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trial. This is what he says. Yes, I'm grateful to God for choosing me. And he puts this thing on his head. Halo, emoji. Today was a bit worse. Me and Saji got abused in public road. So on your main street, they all just thrashing negative stuff. Imagine that happening on your driveway. He said, I told him, amen, be strong. I put this arm here, be ready to be beaten up maybe. Yeah, sure, bro. Nothing can stop me from the love of God. What will stop you? We love God. At this time, I'm going to have Pat and the whole gang to come and share their story. At this time. We know that story, right?
Yeah, know that story. So, I want to talk a little bit about how amazing God works through one another relationships. You guys know my family, my mom and dad right here, and my sister Kelly and my other sister Jennifer. We grew up in an amazing family environment where we really lived out one another relationships. Those are nice pictures. And my parents were loving and encouraged us. And the scripture that I think about is in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And we did that. We did family nights and family retreats, and my parents looked for ways to build us up and be a family, the five of us. We lived for a year in a really small trailer where we spent a lot of time together. But they were always looking for ways to build family, to build one another relationships, to show us their love and favor for us. And when I wasn't with my family, I looked for that in the world, and I yearned for that. And I looked for that in friends and school, and it wasn't there. And I looked for it in college, and it wasn't there. And I joined a sorority in college, which I gained a lot of good friendships from, but it wasn't there. It wasn't those one another relationships. It wasn't that kind of love that you feel in a family. I looked for it in relationships with guys. It wasn't there. And then as a single, after graduating from college, as a single person, I was living in Bloomington, Illinois, working for State Farm Insurance. And a neighbor knocked on my door and invited me to church. And I'm like, all right, I've been looking for a church. I always believed in God. I had no idea about God other than I wanted to have these types of relationships and that there was a God. Right? And I had gone to church for years, and I didn't find the relationships I had in my family at church. So I went to this church, and I was like, okay, that was, you know, people were nice, and then people stopped by my desk at work, knocked on my door, and invited me to things, and I started going, and I found these one another relationships for the first time outside of my family, and I was amazed. And because of the relationships that I had with my family, I knew that this was this real love. And I studied the Bible and learned about God, and in 1998, I actually became a Christian. And so, even though I had grown up in this loving family, I, of course, was a sinner. And I started changing all these things about my life and started sharing them with my family. And my mom's like, what's going on with you? What's different? Something's different. Tell me about it. And because of that relationship my mom fostered, I was able to tell her about it. And she was so humble to learn from her youngest daughter, Jen, that I actually was living in Bloomington, Illinois, and my mom was living in Custer, Michigan, and we studied the Bible over the phone.
Come on.
And so I did Bible studies with her over the phone, and then anytime we happened to be together, we did Bible studies. And then 6 months after I was baptized and became a Christian, my mom came down to Bloomington, Illinois, and was baptized and became a Christian.
Woo!
I'm gonna let my mom share a little bit about that.
Good morning. Well, I'd always believed in God too, and just before Wendy got baptized, I had been reading a book, and I was really looking at my spiritual life, and I was really seeking. So God really softened my heart and prepared me, and I was reading a lot of different self-help books. And then Wendy came home one time for a visit, and I could see there was something going on. There was a change in her life. And so I did. I wanted to know what was going on. And so she shared with me. And I really marvel at that, because I know some people had sort of cautioned her that if she shared with her parents what was going on, that there might be some persecution, or we might believe she got into a cult, or, you know, and we might not be receptive to that. So I know she had like maybe a little fear in her heart about sharing, but we did have a great relationship, and so she openly shared. And I was like, I want to know more. And when we studied the Bible, it was like, wow. I mean, I was like 48 years old when we studied, and I thought, why don't I know any of this stuff? I'd gone to church for years when I was younger and had never really read the Bible or studied out about God or your relationship with Him. And so I have a Bible verse, 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And I thought, that's what Wendy did. It wasn't only that she was sharing with me. I could see a change in who she was as a person and a change in character. And so we can know the Bible and we can have all those words on our heart and on our tongue. But if we're not obeying, like Linda talked about, and people aren't seeing actions from those words that we know or what we have on our heart, it's just not going to ring true. And people are going to see that. And when we were singing the song this morning, a verse really jumped out at me. The song, Be With Me, the verse that said, help me make a difference with the life I'm living. And really, that's what it's all about, making that difference so that people can see there's something different going on. So as Wendy said, I studied the Bible, I got baptized, and there wasn't a church close by at the time, so part of the first year, I made a commitment to travel to Illinois once a month to church so that I could have fellowship, and there were a group of women that took their time. We'd spend the weekend every Saturday night. They got together and had a sharing fellowship group with me and helped me learn more about God and more about the Bible. Then I found out that there were a group of people meeting in Grand Rapids, and they were going to plant a church here in Grand Rapids. And we still lived quite a distance away from here, but it was the closest church to where I was. And I had tried going to churches close to where I lived, and I'd go in, listen to the message, nobody approached me, talked to me, go in, I'd get up, I'd leave. It just felt so lonely, like you didn't notice there was someone in your church you'd never seen before. And so I started driving here to Grand Rapids to church, which was 100 miles away from where we lived, but was the closest church that seemed to really have this love one another relationship that meant so much to me. So when I got the location of the church, I didn't know anybody, and so I was sort of nervous, and I didn't want to come by myself. So my oldest daughter, Kelly, lived here in Grand Rapids, so I reached out to her and said, Kelly, will you come to church with me so I won't be there by myself and not know anybody? And of course, she readily agreed and started coming to church with me. And then, of course, she ended up studying the Bible and was baptized a year after I was baptized.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. So, to back up just a little bit, we had been to church a couple of times with Wendy, and James and I lived in Grand Rapids from the time we got married. James had tried to take me to a couple of churches. Church was a very important part of his life. He'd grown up in the church, and had gone every Sunday, and so he kept trying to take me to churches, and I kept going. I'd go at Sunday and then be like, nope, not feeling it. And part of what was missing, and I didn't know it until we started becoming involved with church here at the Grand Rapids Church, was the relationships. We had a couple of very negative experiences visiting some churches, and I was just like, where's the love? It should be loving, right? So, I started coming to church with Mom, like she said, directionally, not first-string, right? So I drove, and so we started hanging out with a group of people that were here in Grand Rapids. There wasn't even a church yet. So some Sundays we were also driving to Detroit to meet at the Detroit church. They were getting ready to plant Grand Rapids. So we probably visited the Detroit church a couple of times, which was a very large church. So it was very impressive, the music, the fellowship. Everybody, as soon as they saw someone they didn't know, they wanted to come up and look. What are you guys doing? Where are you from? What's going on? So it felt very loving and connected. You could tell they were all very connected. So I started studying the Bible. When the leaders started coming up here and hanging out, before the church was planted officially, they moved a couple here. And so at the inaugural service on December 5th of 1999, I was baptized and became a disciple. My mom said, we're a really close-knit family, and I think those connections is what we were missing, those relationships. And I think that when I started coming to church and saw the changes in Wendy, one of which was she was volunteering with kids, and I was like, what have they done to my sister? Like, what is going on? She came up Sunday and greeted us in overalls, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm with the kids today. And I was like, you're where? Like, I almost went to observe to be sure that was actually true. So there was such a change, and then when my mom started studying the Bible and was driving all the way to Illinois, I was like, what in the world is going on here? What is going on? So when I started getting connected, it was pretty amazing. And so part of my story is that, of course, my husband started coming to church with me. It took him a little longer to get on board, about 5 years. But then we became together a part of a church and were really connected when he became baptized. So as we all started getting involved, my other sister, Jennifer, had no choice but to be dragged in to what we were doing. So we had the quad.
To dream. Don't worry what they think, or family people, or friends, or just give them a chance, give them an opportunity, plant a seed, water it. God makes you grow. Amen to that. So in conclusion, we talked about connecting with Christ, connecting with one another. I hope that it helped you. If there's something you have a concern or a prayer, let's pray, just talk about it. Talk to me or Pam, and then we can get that prayed about it, and then we can make some changes moving forward. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray. We can close it up with one more song. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you so much for the thorn story. God, how you worked in their hearts in so many different cities, and God, your spirit worked powerfully, and how all the branches got connected, not just physically, but spiritually. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room would make that commitment as Jesus is our Lord of our life. that we are willing to do anything for him, Lord, because you are willing to lay your life down for us. God, help us to connect with one another. We have different background, different baggage and all that stuff. Like, we look different, we feel different, everything is so different. But God, through your Spirit, that you can gel everybody together, Lord, that we will be connected. And Lord, help us, God, to open our hearts to be pruned so we can do great things for you in the kingdom. We love you. In his name we pray.
Amen.